Okay, just two introductory remarks. One is that you shouldn't take everything that I'm saying as halacha Moshe Sinai by any means. I'm sure most of you don't, but you know, no one should. And occasionally, more than occasionally, people point out to me that they've made errors and pashtus they're correct. Just recently, a number of people came over in terms of the construct that we had of Klipa and Risha, building off of the Rabbi Yerucham, and that it's a claim that it's very possible to understand the Smagim and Yerucham only dealing with the world of Breira, not with the world of Risha. Certainly possible. Just in terms of methodology, what I'm trying to do is to point out that to a certain degree, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. Namely, that Baruch we find many, many svaras in the Achronim. I find it very difficult to believe that Rishonim weren't bothered by these problems. But they didn't always write them black and white. So sometimes you have to read a little bit into the words to try and find where a Rishon will at least give an idea that then could be applied by an Achronim in a certain area. Rather than there being sort of a yesh me'ayin construct on the basis of an achron. So what I'm trying to do throughout the malachos is to take that which is generally known as machlokot achronim and to point out that they're really machlokot rishonim and the yachronim follow through. So sometimes in my tremendous desire to do that, I may misread a rishon and I apologize for it. But I think that the idea is a correct idea and can be transferred. And when it's not this rishon, find another rishon. Okay, that's it. I'm pleased to be able to tell you that in Yirtzeh Hashem, in 2 weeks approximately, the week after Hanukkah, Yirtzeh Hashem on Yom Rivi on Wednesday at 3 o'clock, an individual who spent his life dedicated his life to the world of Maase Oreg will come to give a shiur on Maase Oreg to be able to be mashlim the year. Namely, that we divided all the malachos up among everyone, excepting Hotzah, which I told Meirosh is a world in itself, and the Maase Oreg I didn't want to give to anyone because I didn't think it was fair to expect someone in a few weeks to master weaving and loom making, etc., etc. But there is one individual in the world, who has been doing this for the last 20 years, and he put out a safer number that 20 years ago called Maase Oreg. He's a dayan in England. Not everything is hashkacha pratis, but I just opened the sefer to see how I'd be able to find him, and I saw the dedication of the sefer was made by someone who we know, and so I called that person, maybe he has Italian phone number, and he had the phone number, and I called and said, oh, I'll come to you in a few weeks, and then, we're his first stop in Eretz Yisrael on his lecture tour of Maase Oreg. So Mitzvah Hashem, it's, I think, Dalad Teves. It's a Wednesday after Hanukkah, 3 in the afternoon. So he said it's approximately 2 hours, and he'll try and cover the malachos of Maase Oreg and answer questions that you have. I'll try and see if the sefer is available. If anyone wants to look in advance, it's a little thin sefer. I only have one copy of my own, but it has it's pictures. Occasionally, not like pictures. And so musician that will hopefully be able to be mashlim our understanding of the Ramat HaTzavos Malachos. Okay, we left off last time with a problem. We left off with a Rashi that appears to be Sotra himself. On one hand, Rashi is the source that we saw that Pakid Va'akir is the construct of Disha. That's the common denominator between the world of being Dash Shua and the world of being Cholev and the world of being Yonik, is that you have a concept of Pakid Va'akir. And yet, when Rashi moves over to Svita Seyar, and the Gemara says that Ein Svita B'Seyar, meaning, according to Moshe Shonim, there's no Svita D'Raisa, but there's still a Svita Midrabanan, Rashi explains, what's the problem with Svita Seyar? And it would be hard to say that a human being is not Gidulei Karaka. If Rashi views animals as Gidulei Karaka, so human beings also Gidulei Karaka. So Rashi says that the answer is Shehu Kasha V'Ein Boleya. But Hu Kasha V'Ein Boleya, that's exactly L'chora, what we defined as Nisha. Okay. So I said that we try and explain that with a with its understanding of a different aspect of Risha, namely that of the world of Skog. There's a Mishnah on the Akuf Mem Gimel Amar Aleph, which deals with the sponge, Skog in Yeshlo or Beis Achiz and Mekankinbo, the Imrav Ein Mekankinbo. So if you have a table and you want to wipe off the table and you have a wet sponge, so if the sponge has a handle or Beis Achiza, you're allowed to use it. If it doesn't have a handle, Ein Mekankin Bo. Rashi explains, Kishaochazo, when you hold it with your hand, Niskat Bein Etzba Osav. So the Gemara explains that this is, even according to Rabbi Shimon, this is a Psik Reisha. Modi Rabbi Shimon, the Psik Reisha Velo Yama. So you have a Psik Reisha that when you use a sponge without a handle, you're going to have Sfita. But what's unclear from the Gemara is which Sfita? The Sfita of Libun or the Sfita of Dash? What are we concerned about? Are we afraid that the sponge is going to become clean, and that's the Iser, that we're going to squeeze the water out of the sponge, and it's going to clean the sponge? Or that we have over here, that you want the water to be exuded from the sponge in order to be able to clean the table? So l'chora, that's a machlokas rishonim, depending on placement. Where would this halacha be brought? So in the Rambam, this halacha is not brought in Perek Kaf Aleph, where the Rambam brings in the din of Sfita Midrabanan, but it's brought in Perek Kaf Beis, where the Rambam talks about the dinim of Libun. In Perek Kaf Beis, halacha Tesvav, Hamachabes Chayev Mishum Malabein, Hasochet Sus Chayev Mishum Machabes, Lefikach also with called Matris Amoch Yotzebo, the piha shisha kedegosot ma shema yavoli de svita ve'ein the kankin disfog elan ken yeshla beit achiza shelo lisfog. And clearly the context over here is the context of libun, and then lachor has nothing to do with us. The Shulchan Aruch brings this at the end of Siman Chinchof. That's our Siman. That's the Siman of svita of disha. And so it would be it's not the Shulchan Aruch that we're working with in the context of Zisha. But the whole that I'm going to return to the Rambam, not for the Rambam per se. The Rambam Bichlal, we didn't mention this last time, but it's clear that, you know, we made the mistake or of coming to Yilchos Shabbos after having learned that Vav and Ksuvos. And so we already saw that we are Benotam, that by Svitas Begadim we have these two options and we go back and forth. Rambam doesn't have this. Bichlal, a Sfog is a Begad, and the world of Svitas Begadim, the Rambam is only Libun. In other words, the whole concept of Svita in Disha, according to the Rambam, is only in the world of Ochlim, Mashkim, Cholev, we'll see also Cholvel, but it doesn't apply to Begadim. The moment you move over to Begadim, according to the Rambam, it has nothing to do with Disha. You want to call it Natubi the Mishkan, whatever Hezra you want to give. You want to say according to Rashi, because there's never a Pakid Vat here. However you want to explain it, but it doesn't apply to the world of Begadim, and therefore the Rambam puts all of the din of Begadim into Hilchos Libun, and that's where he puts, of course, the Sfog as well. But again, I'm coming back to the Rambam, not to the Rambam per se, but for the Ravid. The Ravid asks a very, very good question. I think anyone who has ever touched a sponge would ask, and that is, my nafkamina, whether a sponge has a handle or a sponge doesn't have a handle. The moment you're pressing the sponge down on a table in order to clean the table, you're going to have svita. And so, what is this distinction in the Mishnah between one and the other? He says, Amar Avraham hat Sarfatim Mefarshim came. The Sarfatim, kind of a Rashi. As he heard that Rashi explained the difference between Beis Achiza, I know Beis Achiza is a question, is this a Psik Reisha, it's not a Psik Reisha. The Kashili, ki ma yeshlo Beis Achiza, mai have, yeshlo l'knoach b'lo svita, is that a Metzius? So, I mean, what you say according to Rashi, maybe it's not a Metzius, but according to Rashi, the moment when you touch something with your hands, so then you're necessarily going to push it out. When you hold it with a handle, not so much. It's difficult. It's difficult because a chora, you'd be more sensitive when you hold something with your hands than when you're holding it with a handle. But what's the approach of the Ravid? So he says, Ani omer, kevan sheyesh lo beit achiza, havei lekit slochit meleya mayim, shemeirik mimena mayim. Aval kishein lo beit achiza, havei lekebeged ve'aser lesofto. He says, no one would call pouring water out of a cup disha. Or svita. Let's use the word svita. No one would call pouring water out of a cup svita. Everyone would say that squeezing a beged is sfita. As to whether a sponge should be viewed as pouring water out of a cup, or whether a sponge should be used as sfita, beged, it depends. If it has a beit achiza, we'll view it as pouring water out of a cup. If it doesn't have a beit achiza, we're going to view it as squeezing a beged. What's going on over here? What's the Rebbe talking about? So, I forgot a ring. There's a Chazon Ish in Siman Nunhei. Where's the Chazon Ish? Nunhei Hei? No. Nunvavei, thank you. Chazon Ish Nunvavei, he in two lines wants to explain the Ravid. I think David wrote it down. He says that Kevan Disfog Osi Lekach, Lekabil Al Yado Mayim Ulahariko, Loma Vatle Hamayim Bitocho, Lemikri Dash, Ukamosha Potrim Vesotrim Metadelet, Lokoshi Bona Vesoter, Umikomakom Sarah Betachiza, the Engi Fudo Yichud, Ella Betachiza. What's the Chazon Ish saying? Let's give an example of Bona Vesoter. I mean, clearly, closing a door would not be a malacha of Bona, and opening a door would not be a malacha of Soter. But why not? When you close the door, you complete the wall, and when you open the door, there's now a hole in the wall. So why isn't that a malacha of bona and soser? So the answer is, it's asay lekach. That's what it was meant to do. This is like a revolving door. It's opening and closing, and I mean, that's not called a malacha when something is asui lekach, and it's just being used in a functional manner. That's not called a malacha. So the Chazon Ish says, maybe that's what the Rebbe meant about the sfog. The sfog is asay lekach, to absorb and then to exude, to absorb and then to squeeze out. That's asay lekach, lekabel ayado mayim al hariko. It's not like a beged that was meant to be dry, and only when you wash it or you stick it into, use it as a plug, that's where you're going to squeeze it. This was meant to be opened and closed, and therefore it's not a malacha. However, how do we know that this sfog will be defined as this kli, which is asay lekach, compared to the door? If it has a beis achiza, then we've sold in the store as a commercial sponge. It has a beis achiza, then we view it as being awesome. The kach mashenken, if we simply have a piece of raw sponge, in other words, that yet is not viewed as asay lekach, there's not yet a hachvana on it, and therefore which would be a problem of a malacha. Mashenken, if we have the beis achiza, that defines it as asay lekach, and that's what the Rebbe means. It's like a kos with mayim. No one would view pouring water out of a cup as being a malacha. So also, this sponge is simply a cup from which we are pouring out water. It's a very, very convenient sponge. It's a convenient cup. It absorbs through not just through the top, but through all the walls, and then lets out through all the walls. I don't think it's cut in the right, at all. Why don't I think it's cut in the right? Because the Ravid over here is on the Rambam in Perek Kaf Bet in Hilchos Shabbos, who's running talking about Libun. And the Chazon Ish gave a perush of the Ravid that makes sense in the world of Dash. It has nothing to do with the world of Libun. And so had the Ravid been chalik on the Rambam and said, no, you're wrong. Sponge isn't a din of Libun, it's a din of Disha. So that, you know, that the Ravid should have said black and white, and he should have said that also on the Beged. I mean, why? No, but it appears that the Ravid is working within the construct of the Rambam. Within the Rambam, we have a din of Libun, there the Ravid is talking, and it was bothering me very much. Once I was speaking to Rav Meiselman, and I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was he the one who gave the explanation. He said maybe the Ravid means as follows. That normally what happens when you soak a beged? What happens when you soak a beged and you squeeze it out is that when the water leaves the beged, the dirt grows with it. That's the whole purpose of laundering. Namely, you don't just take a beged and shake it. Only a certain amount of dirt is going to come out by shaking it. But if you soak a beged and squeeze it, then the dirt will come out along with the water. And that's how the beged gets clean. Okay, that's the way the process works. The water pulls the dirt out. Not the tide, not the... Right? The water pulls the dirt out. The tide can help it a little bit. Basically, the water pulls the dirt out. So, what the Ravid wanted to say is that when we have a sponge with a beit achiza, then the water leaves without the dirt. The sponge will remain dirty, simply the water will come out. That's the tzlochis, which is pouring out the water. When you have a sponge without a beit achiza, you have to squeeze it with your hand. When you squeeze it with your hand, then not only does the water come out, but it pulls the dirt out as well. Namely, that within the world of Libun, there will be a difference as to whether the water is coming out by an act of squeezing it with your hand. That will pull out the dirt with the water, and that would be a malacha of Libun. Masha'enken, what is being pressed with the Beit Achiza, the water will come out, the dirt will remain in, and that's Kemerik Mayim Nitzlochim. The water is coming out, but having water come out, that's not Libun. Libun is having dirt come out, not having water come out. Interesting. I'm not saying that that's necessarily Pshat of the Ravid. I think it's more Pshat of the Ravid, perhaps, than the Chazon Ish. But why am I bringing this in? That's because even though the Chazon Ish may not be Pshat in the Ravid al-Akar, what the Chazon Ish did was he pointed out that maybe Disha is limited not only from below, but also from above. Namely, let's take our classic Disha of Pakid Va'akir. We have the Tzua in the chaff, right? That's Pakid Va'akir. We have the milk in the udder. That's Pakid Va'akir. Come along to some many Rishonim and Achronim and say that were we to have a more intense Chibur, were it to be Nivra, that would not be called Disha. Wouldn't be Disha. We may have a din of Chovel, we may have a din of Koser, we have other malachos. That wouldn't be Disha. Okay. Yitachain, that just as when it's more connected, it's not Disha, Yitachain, when it's less connected, it's also not Disha. No one would say that you have a cup of water, that would be Disha when you squeeze the water out of the cup. Namely, that's not Disha, pouring water out of a cup. Namely, if we have a kli, and we have water in a kli, that's also not Disha. That there has to be some sort of in-between stage. In between a kli and in between mechubar, we have the stage of pakid va'akir, where it sort of grows organically, v'kulei. By the sponge, here we would see this concept of the kli. That when you have water which is absorbed by a sponge, so that's like water in a cup. And so that goes beyond pocket v'akir in the other direction. It's not the direction. We have one direction of nivla, where it's more connected. Here it's a little less connected. That's also excluded from the world of disha. And that's what the Ravid is saying, that when you have a sponge, which is defined as a kli, when do we define a sponge as a kli? If it has a beis achiza, then it goes, again, not the Ravid himself. We're taking the Chazon Ish's explanation of the Ravid and saying that this is a construct that maybe Rashi could use, and this would help us with Se'ar. Let's go back to the hair. What does Rashi say by the hair? He says that it is kasha of the eno boleya. So yes, that's pakid v'akir. Now maybe Rashi's saying this is the other direction, that having the shemen in the se'ar, that is more similar to the sfog. Namely, that it's as though the se'ar is a kli. We want to carry the shemen from here to there. So we'll use our se'ar, which is kasha, the eno boleya, as a kli to carry it from here to there. And then when we squeeze it out, that's like pouring water out of a cup. Except this again, but there's no beit achiza, so this would not be muter daraisa. This would be muter daraisa, although it would still be aser drabana. And that we have a possibility of having three stages, three forms of liquids within solids. We have one stage which is the pakid v'akir, which is disha daraisa. We have the kli, which is muter daraisa, and we have the bria, which is muter daraisa. When you have the kli, which is muter daraisa, we already see by this folk that if there's a beit achiza, if it's mucham lekach, then it remains muter daraisa and rabbanan. When we don't have a beit achiza, so it's muter daraisa, and it's also rabbanan. So the seyer would be like a sfog without a beit achiza, the muter daraisa and also rabbanan. And that's exactly what Rashi is saying. Kasha beino boleya. This would be parallel to the Ravid's phrase of avaleket sfochis mleya mayim shemerik mena mayim. Again, the Ravid was talking about libun. And so we have to explain the Ravid, literally, maybe like Ramayim and someone else. But using the Chazon Ish's Ravid, they're talking about Disha, that perhaps would give us an hesder for the Ramayim. And we'll see that there are a lot of halachah l'maaseh ramifications of such a chiluk. We'll come to at the end in terms of toothbrushes, or brushes in general. In other words, when something is defined as a kli, is it still a problem of the sita of Disha? Yes, no, daraisa, drabana, etc. Okay, so that's okay. B. Okay, so we finished up Seyar, we did Sfog. Now let's move over to Chovel. Why are we doing with Chovel? We're not learning Shtita, because the Rambam puts in Chovel, as you saw in Perek Ches, Halacha Zayin, that if the Rambam says, Hadosh Kegroges Chaya, Zaydisa Begidulei Karka, Amasarek, how you told the Dash, he does this in Chovei Masabahema, Chayav Mishim Masarek. That we already pointed out, that the Rambam has this, either distinguishes between the Av and the Told, or he calls it the Hema Gidulei Karaka. V'chein, says the Rambam, Achovel B'chai, Shiesh Bo'or, Chayav Mishum Masarek. This is, fine. In other words, it's fine, except the fact is that we're aware that other Rishonim certainly learn differently. That on the Mishnah of Chovel, the Mishnah of the Chovel Shrasim, Kuf Zayin, Shmona Shrasim. So over there, where it says a Chovel Behem Chayav, so Rashi defines the Malacha over there as either being Shochet, namely Nitilas Neshama, or Silveya. And we saw in Silvus that Tosos is down with this Rashi. Is it Silveya? Is it not Silveya? But on the level of Nitilas Neshama, both the Ri and Rabbi Natan, they're both very, very happy with calling Chovel a Nitilas Neshama. The Av is being no-till the entire Neshama. The Tov is being no-till part of the Neshama. But when you think about it, you can realize that's not necessarily true. It could be that the Av is being no-till the entire Neshama. And if you're not no-till the entire Neshama, that's not Shochet. That's not Shochet. Chovel is not Shochet. Who says that being no-till part of the Neshama is a Tolda of Shochet? A Tolda of Shochet would be Chanika, would be Skila, would be electrocution. Those are Tolda of Shochet. Namely, when you're killing something by all sorts of different means. You have a fancy light that vaporizes mosquitoes. That could be a din of Shochet, of Netilas Neshama. But who says that wounding something has anything to do with Shochet? Again, we're used to it. So when you think about it, the Rambam has a pretty good point that perhaps Netilas Neshama is dafka when you know it's on Neshama, and nothing less than that. Okay, once we put Chovel under the rubric of Dash, so then we're going to change the criteria. Then Sarach Ladam becomes very important to us, because if you want to be chayav and disha d'oraisa, vora, that you have to want the liquid. We spoke about the question, what if you dash, you don't want the liquid? They said, well, sometimes that's also drabanan, sometimes that's mutter, okay? But you're not going to get to a chayav d'oraisa if you don't want the liquid. So over here the Rambam says, vahu, shetzarech ledam, shiotem yachabura. And then the shiurim will be unique, because once we put it into the world of dash, it's part of sidur d'pas, and the shiurim of all sidur d'pas are kigrogres. So the Rambam continues, v'eino chayav ad shiyei b'dam, o b'cholav shehotzi kigrogres. Namely, that it's not just a question of just what av do you put it under, but different avot have different criteria and have different shiurim. So the moment that the Rambam put this under the world of Zisha, he moves over into the Tzara Fladan, and moves over into the Shir of Grogris, and then within Gizulei Karka, we'll have to still have the same problem of Cholay. Is the Rambam just distinguishing between the Av and the Tolda, or is he defining all Balei Chayim as also being Gizulei Karka? The problem is not Halacha Zayin. Halacha Zayin makes, that's fine, that fits in. Again, if we come to the Halacha without preconceptions, without preconceptions, we can certainly view Chovel v'tzarech ledam as being a tolda of Zisha. The problem is we move over to Al-Hachis. V'mezrim amurim v'chovel behema v'chaya v'ofak yosef behem. Avo chovel chazero, av alpish niskavin v'hazik. And if this person is niskavin v'hazik, v'chora, this is a situation of mekalkel, and it's also not tzarech ledam. So it's like a double whammy. Chayav. It says, Chayav midoraisa, mishum nachat rucho. Harei niskarra da'ato, shachacha chamaso, hareihu kimitakein. The apple bishen of tzarech ledam shehotzi mimenu. We're not building a blood bank over here. B'cholzo, chayav. Right? If we have a person giving blood for a blood bank, that's halacha zayin. That's chovel b'tzarech ledam. That's disha midoraisa. If we have someone giving someone a bloody nose, right? Popping someone the nose and walking away with a smile. So it says, that's also chayav. How is that also chayav? It's chayav because we have over here a tikkun of nachas ruach. Okay. Leaving aside the hashkafa as to whether this is called a tikkun of nachas ruach or not, as I think most psychologists probably would agree with the Rambam, but most parents, and particularly the father of a kid whose nose was bleeding, you would disagree with the Rambam that this is a tikkun of nachas ruach, this kara daito, shachacha chamaso. Leaving that aside, however, we have over here three tremendous kiddushim in the Rambam that I'll mention and give you the framework. Firstly, what happened to Tzarech Ledam? Namely, we've always been defining, this is Yisha Doraisa, I'm talking about Chayav. Chayav. How can you be Chayav if you don't need the Dan? We pointed out that, you know, that the Koro Yisha has criteria, and one of the criteria is Tzarech L'Dan. So this, we have one of two directions to go into. One is to say, this is Rav Soloveitchik's shot on the Tosfos in the Chayim Gimel Amud Beis. So you call over there by Tzarech L'Eitzim, that Tosfos once said, even according to Rav Yehuda, Hot Nocha Shetichu Guf L'Chaya, the holes that we need, Tzarech L'Eitzim. But that's part of the definition of the Malacha, and then the Rambam brought in, as a proof, the din of Sochet. He brought in by Sochet, Kvashim L'Shlakas, that it's Tzarech L'Mimehem, then it's Chayav, or it's Aser, Chayav, Rav Yochanan and Rav Yehuda, and if it's Tzarech L'Gufan, then it's Mutar. So we see that sometimes that, you know, that we can get around. Even Rav Yehuda has these definitions. And over there, Rabbi Kiva Eger asked, what about the case of Korea al-Khamaso? What are we going to do with that? Where do you have the Korea al-Nasrit for? Rabbi Kiva Eger left it to Tzarafiyah. And we said, according to the Rav, that Rabbi Kiva Eger had it all wrong. That what Tosfos was saying was that we have a form of malachas called malachas kilkul. And malachas kilkul doesn't necessarily have to be that you're doing something wrong, but you makalkul the previous malacha. And then we require a tikkun. And what Tosfos pointed out is that sometimes a tikkun can be to recreate the previous malacha, like Mochek Amanas Lichtov, and sometimes it could be something that would have a positive tikkun. A positive tikkun would also serve to neutralize the malachas kilkul. So over here, the Rambam is doing is simply taking the Rav all the way, that the positive tikkun could also be niskara daita. That we can have a positive tikkun that was substitute for tzarech l'mayim. Tzarech l'mayim simply is an example of a positive tikkun. You get liquid out, and that's a positive tikkun. But if we can have an alternative positive tikkun, just like that can work by korea achamasa, it could also work by kofel, it could also work by disha. And we have this, we could broaden our definition. It's not a din of tzarech l'mayim. It's a din of having a positive tikkun. Generally, tzarech l'dam, tzarech l'mayim is the positive tikkun. But if we're going to have a positive tikkun of niskara daito, that's also fine. What is considered to be not a positive tikkun? Tzarech l'gufan. Tzarech l'gufan, you want a pickle with less juice, or you want tuna fish with less oil, then getting the oil out, that's not considered to be the positive tikkun that we're looking for. You need something that relates to a broader field, etc. So that's the question of detail, what's considered a positive tikkun, and this will link in with what we saw in Ksuvus in terms of the positive tikkun that Tosfos spoke about of Dam Besulim. Dam Besulim, that the Tzarech L'dam. What's the Tzarech L'dam of Dam Besulim? It's also not a question of a blood bank, but the Tzarech L'dam, to know she's the Besula, the Tzarech L'dam, right? Or is it that, or the positive tikkun of the Metzitza, that we pointed out that we have a refuah. So there we dealt with positive tikkun in terms of Chovel. In terms of Chovel as Tzilas Neshama. Here we're moving it also into the world of Dash. Even if we learn that we're doing on the level of Dash, because we have a positive tikkun. That's one direction. But that's according to the Rav, that a positive tikkun can substitute perhaps the Tzarech L'dam. That's what Rambam appears to be saying. Afal pi she'eino Tzarech L'dam. The moment that we have Havrei Kemetake, that's enough. And it applies even to Disha. However, if you want to be a purist, and you want to say, no, do you need Tzarech L'dam? Then you could take also the approach of Yehuda the Chazon Ish. He was also bothered by this. And where is the Chazon Ish? This is Nun Hei Hei. In Nun Hei Hei, and he says that the dam gives him his sense of nekama. In other words, if he just punches a fellow in the nose and he no blood, he keep punching, right? The moment he sees blood, then he's accomplished his purpose. In other words, so here we have a Tzarech L'dam, but not the Tzarech L'dam we would normally think of, to see that it's your Kelev or Machu Kazeh, or use in a blood bank, but rather the Tzarech L'dam, that creates the Niskara L'daito. It's very hard to fit into the Rambam. The Rambam says, Niskara L'daito, Shokakak Hamas, Ahayot Matakin, Afal Pisheino Tzarech L'dam Shehotzi. I mean, so here we're saying that Tzarech L'dam Shehotzi. But Tzarech L'dam Shehotzi, not in terms of the blood per se, Tzarech L'dam Shehotzi in terms of what it represents. Okay, you can learn it that way as well. That perhaps would also be similar to the Dam Besulim, Tzarech L'dam, not to the Dam, but Tzarech L'dam to prove a certain point. So here you want to prove she's a Mesula. Here you want to prove that you've gotten back at him for whatever horrible thing he did to you. So that's one area of Chiddush of the Rambam, that we are expanding the world of Disha even into, on a Daraisa plane, even to situations where Eino Tzarach Mashke, as long as we have a meaningful substitute of Tikkun Gadol. But the second is a problem, and that is, what does Rambam do with the sugya we learned in Suvas? That the sugya is distinguished between two forms of Dan Basulim. The Dan Basulim, which is Pekudei Nifkid, and the Dan Basulim, which is Chiburei Nechbar. And the Gemara said, if the Dan Basulim is Pakid Rahakir, if Dan Basulim is Pekudei Nifkid, then we have a Malacha of Bona and Sotzer. And if the Dan Basulim is Chiburei Nechbar, then we have Chovel. And the Rambam is saying that Chovel is Dash. Now we're back again. What do you mean? Kibur and Nachbar is Dash? We just went through this and said Kibur and Nachbar is not Dash. That could be other malachas, but not Dash. In other words, but so when we were in the sugya, we assumed, what is Chovel? We assumed Chovel is in Tilas Neshama, and there's no problem. But the moment that we're going to define Chovel as Disha, and with Chovel is like squeezing Zaysim Va'anavim. So Zaysim Va'anavim, that's Pakid Va'ashir. And the Gemara says, no, that if it's Pakid Va'akir, it's a Malacha of Bona. And only if it's Kuburi Nechbar, then it's a Malacha of Cholo. Has the Rambam learned the Gemara? So that bothered all the Achronim. If you look in the Franco Rambam, you'll find over here a whole slew of Achronim who deal with this question, so I'll send you to the Achronim. I'm not satisfied with any of the answers I saw, so I'll just tell you, the Chasam Sofer talks about it, the Yoshua talks about it, they all talk about how the Rambam deals with the Gemara. Okay, the biblical Gemara. Thirdly, what comes out from the Rambam, and this is also mentioned by the Achronim, Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the side of the Frankel Rambam, there's Rabbi Kiva Eger, from his Perush on Mishnayos, asked, if the Rambam is correct, then it would turn out that every time you shecht an animal, leaving aside the malacha of Netilas Neshama, you also have a malacha of Dash. But when you shecht an animal, you have blood coming out, and you have a tikkun. You don't need the blood. The blood is just an example of a tikkun. If a tikkun is niskara gaito, so in fact now that you have meat, kara is also a tikkun. That's a tikkun in the world of Shabbos, he pointed out. That even though in the world of Avodah Zarah it's not a tikkun, in the world of Shabbos, shechting an animal is a tikkun. That's considered to be bintake. It's not considered to be makalkel. And so if you have a tikkun, why shouldn't that also be dash? We never find anyone who says that shechting an animal is dash. Why does anyone say it? Because everyone assumes that dash requires sarach ladam. The moment the Ram does away with sarach ladam, and you already have a kimitakein, so then maybe shechting animal should also be dash. So the answer could be an achinami. I mean, no, it's not a kashi. It's just like a raised eyebrow that the Rambam is opening a certain Pandora's box by saying that you don't require blood, and this could move further than what we have. Okay. In any case, be aware of the Rambam shita. Halacha l'maisa, what the Rambam deals with in terms of Chovel is certainly an issue. Siman Shin Kafchet, towards the end, Shin Kafchet is a very, very long Siman. Towards the end, so it points out, Sifnem Chet, that Asa Rahotzi Dam Neha Maka, that the person has a Maka, and he wants to squeeze the blood out of the maka on Shabbos, that's aser. So that is what we call chovel. And over here, this would be, even if eino tzarech ladam, according to the Rambam sheet, at the moment that he is squeezing the blood out, he means it's a positive purpose. So maybe infected, he wants the blood to come out that it shouldn't be infected. Maybe it hurts him, and when he sucks on the blood, it will be soothing. If it's sucking the blood, all of that would come under the Rambam. And Huhadin, they bring over here that Yesh, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sifkatan Kufman Zayin, Hamidabek Sheretz Aluka, someone put a leech, Shetim Tzotzdam, Tzadin Amagan Avram, Diyesh Chiyuv Bazet. That's also a Chiyuv of Chovel. And what we have over here, the Tikkun, assuming that there is a Tikkun, that's the assumption of those who use leeches, that there is a Tikkun, so we have a Tikkun via the Hotzaz Dam, even though Eino Tzarech Ladam, but that's considered to be a Tikkun for the individual. All of those come on again. So you could say all of these come under the Tilas Neshama, according to the Rambam, all of these come under also the world of Disha. Okay, so that's then is the Tolda of Kovel. And again, the Nachmina Halacha L'Maisa is the first Nachmina we give is Tzarech L'Dam has been neutralized, because the Rambam says that you can have an alternative to Tzarech L'Dam of how they can attack him. So the only Nachmina then remains Kegrogres, since nowadays even a Hatishir is also. So for our purposes, it's sort of irrelevant if Chovel is a din of Disha or Chovel is a din of Tzitz Neshama. The calls that we have a Disha and a Chiyuv. In sort of in between, we can make not really in between. Let's just return to Cholev for a minute. We spoke about Cholev on the level of this. You know, here we have Rashi's definition of Pocket Zalakir. And here we also, by Cholev, we dealt with it in terms of Gidulei Karka. Cholev is mentioned also in the Gemara in Suvas and Daf Samach in terms of an unusual situation of a person who is told that for purposes of refuah, he is supposed to nurse milk directly from a goat. This is supposed to be his refuah. Goneach yonek mishabes. Morang suvis daf tzama chamad aleph. And the Gemara says, my time, what is the heter over here? So the Gemara answers that yonek is mefarek v'achayad, which being called an animal in a normal manner, that's disha d'oraisa, pirik d'oraisa. Being yonek, that would be mefarik l'achayad, that's drabanan a, and mishum tzara lo gozer cholashen bo sakana. Now, as we have over here various hekerim of isura drabanan, so that was the heter over there. The question is, how do we understand the phenomena of nursing children on Shabbos? Do we have to come on to a heter, or is it mutter to begin with? Namely, you can come up with a very, very simple heter. I mean, it's sakanas nefashos. I mean, a baby can't go dry for 24 hours, and a baby has to nurse, and this is a baby's source of nourishment for chulei. And so, you know, it's in achinami. Really, we're dealing over here with a malacha, and we have dinim of chinuch. And it's true that one of the dinim of chinuch is the list of biyadayim, that a person shouldn't take a child and bring him to do a malacha biyadayim. You shouldn't put a kid next to the light switch and tell him bang it like that. That's not called chinuch. But the chol that we have this head there called ones rachmana patre, called sakanas nefashos. We have this head there. Is that what we're talking about, or do we have a broader head there? Now, kamina would be, let's say that a baby wants to nurse 3 minutes before Motzei Shabbos. For the baby to cry for 3 minutes is not pikuach nefesh. Lehecha, it's good to get the baby to cry, it's good for its lungs, etc. And so if we're dealing over here with the kazeh, a situation that we need a heter, so why need a heter? Just wait 3 minutes and feed the baby Motzei Shabbos. Or are we going to say, no, that simply the act of nursing, this is simply not a malacha. If it's not a malacha, then what is it? So here we can go back to one of two directions. Either to the Ralbag, that anything the animals do is not a malacha. And since animals nurse, that's simply defined as teva, and that's not considered to be a malacha. Or to put it more into the world of Disha, and that this would be more similar to what we spoke about by being motzetz, a grape, that the act of mitzitza could be an act of achila. And since this is taking place within the mouth of the baby, this is considered to be an act of eating as opposed to a malacha. So just be aware that this is a machlokas achronim. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa at the end of Perek Lamed Vav, which deals, Perek is entitled Dine Yoledet U'Mineket. So at the end over there in Sifkatan Samach Beis. Sifkatan Samach Beis, he quotes over there a machlokas achronim. The one who says it's not a problem at all is Shamazam and Orbach. The Mutar, the Hanik Tinok, Yam Samach Motzei Shabbos. אפילו יכולים להמתין עד הלילה, אין זה דומה למעמיד עלוקה למציץ הסדם. This is not the equivalent to putting on a leech, even though maybe a woman would view it that way, but it's not the equivalent to putting on a leech. Hoyo v'kach derech achilaso. V'gam chosha v'shum kach ochel v'lo mashke, etc. This is achilas odam. This is not nefarek. However, he quotes other tshuvos, this is dona mama shel aluka. In other words, then we have to come on to a hetzer, and then the moment that we can get around the hetzer by simply waiting a few minutes, that would be better. So it's tzivkot on samach beis. Yeah?
What would be the difference between a chasing tzivos and a baby?
Chasing tzivos is klach hayad. It's klach hayad to nurse from a goat. But it's not klach hayad for a baby to nurse from its mother. Okay. But that's a din d'oraisa. I mean, the hetzer in tzivos was you got it down to a drabanan, and then mishum the drabanan, mishum tzara hitiru. By the baby, it's a d'oraisa. This is derech. This is kedarko. This is choleis kedarko.
So then we were saying that if it's in the mouth, it's not a malacha, but we see from the mouth of tzivos that it is a malacha in the mouth.
No, what we're saying is that you know, this would link in more with the Rabbah, namely that to nurse from one's mother is not considered to be a malacha. That's considered to be eating. That's the way a child eats. Nursing is considered to be a form of eating. Masha Einting, for a person to milk a goat into his mouth, that would be considered to be a situation of choleis kolachayot. In other words, you're correct. In other words, in terms of the physical condition, it's very, very similar to having it in one's mouth. But I think over here, the kedarko and the lo kedarko create a difference, yes?
One, I'm not sure why
they
would even question the first place, because I don't see how nursing is related to the
lack of
condition of it, but I
think
the problem is
that
the problem with expressing milk.
Okay, so expressing milk is a problem, and milking cows is a problem. Okay, you mentioned we can deal with that now. Okay, so would a woman be allowed to express milk into, let's say, a baby's in the hospital, or born premature, it's in an incubator, the mother goes home, and the mother would like, as much as possible, for the health of the baby and for her own desire to bond with the baby, to continue to nurse the baby. And so currently, the way of nursing is expressing milk into a bottle and then giving the bottle to the child. What do we do on Shabbos? What do we do on Shabbos? So the answer is it depends. If the baby, at this point, on Shabbos, has no other source of milk than the mother, and the mother simply for reasons she has a pesa, etc., she can't allow the baby to nurse, and she has to express, then of course she's allowed to nurse for pikuach nefesh of the baby. If, however, the baby Baruch Hashem has milk, but the mother simply wants to, but the mother has to express in order to prevent her from being engorged with milk and to bring about an infection, then we have the halacha of l'ibud, of being choleis l'ibud. So we pointed out that whatever halacha choleis is, if it's dash, so we have the heter that if the milk goes l'ibud, then there would be no malacha. So she can nurse. In what she would do is simply put a little soap into the bottle of the masheva of the pump, and she would pump into the soap such that it would go l'ibud. That's the heter that we find in the world of milking cows. That milking we saw is a malacha daraisa. It's a malacha of choleis. On the other hand, cows that are used to being milked, if 24 hours were to go by without them being milked, it would be tremendous. Tsar Balei Chayim. And so Tsar Balei Chayim is a factor we take into account very, very much. So we have to get the milking down to a level of drabanan in order to be able to matter it. So one way of getting it down to the level of drabanan is amira la'akwa. Always have a goy milk, and the moment that the goy is milking, so that's the amira la'akwa, that's the drabanan. And then that way we can deal with Tzar Balei Chayim. Tzar Balei Chayim will allow for Amira La'akum. The other alternative in Eretz Yisrael, particularly now, that one doesn't necessarily have a lot of non-Jewish labor, and so a Jew has to milk the cow. There's no alternative. So here we have the heter of Choleis L'Ibud. Again, to milk either onto the ground or into a can that has in it something that would topple the milk, and that this is the halacha, that the milk which comes out on Shabbos is we're dealing over here with a malacha. If we were to put it, if we were to use the milk, the only heter of not having a malacha midoraisa is if it goes le'ibud, and then again, the tzar b'chayim allows us to be called le'ibud. The question is, in terms of milking machines, that milking machine, the chara, has a number of problems to it. The machine has to be put on the animal when the machine is not working. When the machine is not working, in other words, when the pump, there's no vacuum, in order that we want to create a grumma, we want to create a situation where then, when the machine is on the animal, it'll simply be the Shabbos stock go on by itself, and then we're milking via a grumma rather than milking directly. In other words, were the milking machine to be working, so you'd be milking via a machine. Milking via a machine, we quoted out by Harisha, this is considered to be your act. So you'd have to put the machine on the animal when it is not working. The question is whether that's really feasible, whether it's really possible, because whether it can stick to the animal's udder without there being a vacuum. That's a very technical problem, which happens to be a very, very real problem. And then the question is, okay, I begin the milking machine with the grumma. Would I be allowed to milk even with the grumma to keep the milk? And that lechora would be problematic. That grumma only takes it down to a level of an isur drabana. Keeping the milk, lechora, we don't have a heter to keep the milk. So I'd have to have the milking begin when it goes le'ibud. If it's going le'ibud, then the question is, well, can the milking machine on its own, via second grumma, move it over then to be able to be kept? So these are questions that are dealt with. There's an article in Tchumen in volume Tesvav that deals with the practicality of the milking machines. In other words, there are milking machines that work halakhically. The question is whether such milking machines can also allow the milk to be kept, or if it's simply a means of being called le'ibud in a neater manner than an individual doing the work. Yes? It's a good question. The question is as to whether we view a machine which was meant for that purpose as being a grumma. Namely, as to whether the milking machine that was meant to work with grumma, whether that's called the grumma. Maybe that's not even called the grumma. And then we have to come on to the grumma of... and then we have to come on to the holech le'ibud. In any case, we're not farmers, but you should be aware that there are heterim, but there's a certain type of machine and to be used in a certain way. Okay, there are basically two more topics, or one more topic, and then simply a list of Nikudot Alfa Maisa. One, the topic that we left out up to now is the Gemara at the very, very end of the fourth parak. That's an Aleph Amadeus. The Braisa says, Ein Merazkin. Lo or in Raskin, lo as a sheleg, lo as a bara de Shabbos, bishvil she azuvu meinav, avonosenu letocha kos, letocha ka'ara, ve'eno kloshesh. What is the problem over here of breaking ice or snow down into water? So Rashi learns it as a din drabanan, isur drabanan, of mishum de kamolid de Shabbos. What is the problem of being molded the Shabbos? The dummy l'malacha. Shaborei ha-mayim ha-eru. That, most Achronim say dummy l'malacha means we have a malacha of makib patish, of creating a kli. So midrabanan, we have an iser of molded, of actively changing the form of something from a solid to a liquid. It's like ki'ilu borei ha-mayim ha-eru. And that would be aser drabanan midin molded. That's Rashi. Masha'en came. Were you to put it into a kos, were it to simply happen on its own, put it in the sun, it happens on its own, ain't no choshesh. But Iser is molded, the Iser is doing an act. That which happens to Mela is not a problem. The Rambam, however, brings this halacha where it has a different connotation altogether, namely in Perek Kaf Avos as Yilchos Shabbos, halacha Yud Gimel. Right after Yisra Raman speaks about Mesarek Chai Mishim Dash, Soke Tzei Sivan Dabin Chai Mishim Mesarek, Tutin Rimonim, Kvashim and Shlokos, Raman then continues in Kaf Aleph Yud Gimel, Ein Meraskin Es HaShelek Shia Zubu Meimav, Avo Merasek Huli Letoch HaKa'ara Letoch HaKos, etc. That we have over here a drabanan asita, that this is a gzera atu. If a person is going to go ahead and be sochet shelag, next thing you know, he's going to go ahead and be sochet zeisim v'anavim. And the Rambam brings it into the world of disha through the back door. The halacha lemaisa problems come about not because of the Rambam or Rashi per se. It's pretty easy to deal with matters according to them. That we have a heter simply to let it happen on its own, right? Or don't do it via dayan, simply let it happen on its own. The problem is that we have a third shita, which is quoted by the Rishonim, and that's the shita of the Sefer HaTrumah. But the Sefer HaTrumah understands over here it's not a din of molid, nor is it gzera atu slita, but rather it's a form of mukta called nolad. Namely, the fact that something was in one shape, in one form, when Shabbos entered, and it's in another form when Shabbos continues, that phenomena itself is called nolad. That is considered to be mukta, and it's also betiltul on Shabbos. Betiltul b'shtia, v'chulei, v'chulei. Now we have over here a form of mukta, which means, according to the Sefer HaTrumah, it's irrelevant whether this came about via your action or came about on its own. That's not an important criteria. The only heter that we have, according to the Sefer HaTrumah, is l'toch hakot. Namely, if you already have water, and you have an ice cube which is melting into the water, so since kama kama batel, since it's not obvious that the water level is rising, that's considered to be there's no mukta, which is nothing, it stands on its own in a different form. Machen, and we take an ice cube in an empty cup and let it melt there, then the result of that would be no god. Halacha l'maisa, the psak over here is not a simple matter, because the machaber in Siman Shin Chaf Sifes brings the Brisa Hashelag v'habarot ein meraskin osan haino v'shrover mulchatichos dakos kidei sheyazugu meimam avo notenu l'toch hakosh v'yeno mayim v'hu nimoch ne'ilah v'eno choshesh. So Mechab is bringing in this halacha and Siman Shin Chaf, so it appears that he's learning like the Rambam. This comes right after the dinim of Kvashim and Tzvakos, just like the Rambam brings it in Perakaf Aleph, so the Rambam brings it in Siman, the Mechab brings it in Siman Shin Chaf. However, you could understand it also like Rashi, because it's sort of towards the very, very end of the Siman. Whenever the Mechaber gets to an end of the Siman, many times he brings in things that are Isur Midrabanan, that come in sometimes from left field. But the Mechaber then concludes, and he says, "V'chein im hinicham v'chama neged amadura v'nishru mutarim." That we not only have the heter of l'toch hamayim or l'toch hayayim, the heter that it's eno nikar, we also have the heter of it happening on its own. Then we clearly, the Mechaber is working with the Rambam and Rashi, and not to say for Atruma, and that's what the Shar HaTzion points out. That the Shar HaTzion, that in the Mishnah Brura, in Sifkatan Lamed Gimel, this verse offers two options. Either it's asur dami l'malacha shebori hamayim halal l'vatsa midraban, he quotes Rashi. Inam izera shema yisro teiro sa'omdim l'mashkin, he quotes the Rambam. And the Shar HaTzion, Sifkos Lamed Hei, he says, Hishmatati tam nolad, I left out the Sefer HaTrumah, the hamachaber lo svirulei. The machaber doesn't pose such a problem of nolad. There's no such animal as nolad according to the machaber. Midehitir neged hachama, the moment the machaber was not here, to leave it and it happened on its own, and behold that it's mutter, the fact that the form changed from solid to liquid is irrelevant. That doesn't create muksa. It was here, and it is here. It was here previously as snow, and now it's here as water. It's here previously as ice cube. Now it's here as water. That's not muksa. It was here, and it is here. The form is totally irrelevant. However, why am I stressing the machaber? Because the Ramah does quote the Sefer HaTrumah. And the Ramah is quoted over here in Siman Shin Chaf by the Mishnah Berurah. Uledas haramah, the Siman Shin Yitzchet, Sif Shket Zayin, Gam Hocha Yeis Vahach Nir Afni Nimoach Me'elav, She'asr Mishum Nolad. What's the case over there in Shin Yitzchet, Sif Shket Zayin? So that's a situation which is quite common, that you have a food which currently is solid. However, the moment you heat it up, then the liquid in the food tends to come out as a liquid. The case is mutar retain in pandura keneged ha'esh b'makom shehayad sogeret bo v'af al pi shehashuman sheba shenikrash chozer v'nimolach. Now we have a heter of the machaber to put this in pandura, this pashtida, this apple kugel, to warm up on Shabbos because it's yavesh currently, and because it's yavesh currently, we have a din of ein bishul achar bishul, and you can put it to warm up as long as you put it on top of a kli, so it's not a kind of merci kabishul, so you can put it on top of the shalom to warm up, even though the shuman is now going to come out, and you're going to have it sitting in the shuman, the chold of its mutar. It's nolad. Nolad's not a problem, according to the machaber. Comes along the Ramah and says that the Nohagula Hachmir, that we're knowing to be Machmir to because of the sheet of the Sefer HaTrumah, we're knowing that Nolad is problematic. We don't pass on to Sefer HaTrumah, we just normally Machmir to Sefer HaTrumah, and then we can override the Chumrah in a situation of Mokom Tzorech. Okay. So we have then the mainstream Shita, and we have the Chumrah for Ashkenazim. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa summarizes these halachos in Perek Yud. Dine Kerach on the Karer B'Shabbat, halachot Bet and Gimel, right, that you can put ice cubes into your Coca-Cola, and that's perfectly fine according to everyone, even according to Sefer HaTrumah, because as it melts, it's not going to be nikar b'fnayasmo. However, to put an ice cube into a cup to melt, you will have a very cold water. That l'chatchila you shouldn't do because of the Sefer HaTrumah. However, if you did it, you're allowed to drink it. Because the Sefer HaTrumah is a chumrah, and they said, "Makom tzarech, you don't have to do a chatchila. This is, you have no other water. The water turned off, or you have ice cubes. So you can take the ice cubes and put them into a tray and let them melt, and you'll have water via the ice cubes. You do that with chatchila, makom tzarech." The question which is raised is, what about the opposite situation? What about not turning ice into water, but turning water into ice? So you'll have to make ice cubes on Shabbos. So here we have a three-way machlokes achronim. The literature is found in the footnote over here of the Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa, Sifkatan Yud Dalid, and also in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, he brings it in Siman Shin Chaf, Sifkatan Kaf Zayin. Shin Chaf. Some say it's simply, and this is the way, this is what's found in the Piskei Tshuvos, that who had it? My nafkamina. If we're going to be machmir like the Sefer HaTrumah, that we have a change of form from solid to liquid, before who I did, we have a change of form from liquid to solid, and so you have the same construct. L'chatchila, you shouldn't make ice cubes unless it's makom tzarech. It's a very hot day. You're having guests. It's kavod arkim, etc. Then you'd be allowed to do it. But l'chatchila, you shouldn't do it. You should try and chachamina b'rosha prepare all that in advance. But you know, it's only a yesh limana. However, in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he quotes poskim in the two directions. One, maybe it's worse. One, maybe it's better. The one that says it's worse is the Dovid Mesharim, the Chabina Rav, who says that when you're turning water, when you're turning ice into water, you... What is the word?
He
he understands that the problem over here of mukza is like a classic mukza, something which is not an ochel and not a kli. And so he says that when you turn ice into water, the bottom line is you're ending up with a mashke. Maybe it wasn't there beforehand, so the Sefer Truma is machmir. It wasn't there beforehand, so it's a chub. We're machmir like the Sefer Truma. Maybe that's mukza. But when you're turning water into ice, you're taking it out of the concept of mashke and making it something which is not an ochel and not a mashke. So you're turning it into mukza. And with the ice cube itself is something which lacks a status of ochel or mashke. And as such, maybe it's worse to make the ice cube that there. We wouldn't only be machmir for the Sefer Truma, maybe over there we would pass like the Sefer Truma. However, that is a das yakim. The other direction is accepted by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and by Rav Moshe, and that is that you're allowed to make ice cubes even with chatzpila. You don't even need a tzarech gadol, because why should it be more kal? Because the ice cube is not a natural state. Namely, it's something which is eino shel kayam. It only exists under artificial conditions, and therefore you're not really changing the state. It's basically water, and it's only temporarily. And secondly, it's a shinui griusa. Water has many more purposes. And so when does Sefer Truma say that you are a problem of nolad? When you are turning something into a shinui l'kivuta, something that has a kiyum, that would be a din of nolad. Now, shenken over here, it's just something which is temporary. It's a griusa. Anyway, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach over here in the footnote. And so again, you have these three shito. The application in terms of Sefer Truma also sometimes is brought up in terms of whipped cream, where the whipped cream in the can is a liquid, and when you spritz it onto the top of your cake, it turns into foam, a solid. So again, in other words, it's a chumrah of the Sefer HaTruma. According to Rav Moshe, this would be l'chora similar to making ice cubes. Namely, it's going to be eino shel kayama in the state of foam. If you give a long zvar Torah, it's going simply to turn back into liquid. And as such, it would be there's not even room to be machmir for the sefer HaTruma. Yes. So that's Yigul Nishmir Shabbos Kilchasa. He deals with it in Sif Hey. Koma Achal Acher Asher Shein Regilim Laochem Atzorah Kafu Mutar Afilu Chatzil Achim Seulata Hamakti, because that's not considered to be even nolad. In other words, there's no desire to create something which is frozen. And so it's the halachos that he deals with putting ice cream back into the refrigerator. That's over there. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa at the beginning of Parakut. So it's Dal of Heifa. In terms of the heter of the Sefer, even if you're matnir for the Sefer HaTruma, not to change state, you saw that there's a heter if it happens into another liquid, into another salad, and if that is not nikar, that's the heter of putting sugar into tea. The sugar is currently a solid. When it goes into the tea, it turns into liquid. But since it's being turned into liquid within the tea, it's not nikar as it's turning into liquid, there you have the heter of the Tolcha Kedera that we have over here. Of the Dina Sefer Truma is not here. The Bryce is not here. Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to put frozen food into yogurt, stir it up, where you get creates sort of like ice cream concoction. The coldness of the food transfers to yogurt and it's thick. Is that considered to be that's us?
No, I don't see what the issue is. Why?
I don't necessarily, even according to Sefer HaTruma,
it appears that the Iser is taking something which is a pure liquid and turning it into a pure solid. If you're doing something which is a thick liquid and turning it into a thicker liquid, I don't know if that's what he had in mind.
You've got a passive way to make ice cream without grinding it up.
I don't know.
Yeah. And one is chicken that has moved to the sauce on the surface. So could we say that in the way that the bottle, you put the that nap a little bit on the surface, freezes, that's not a problem.
Yeah, we said this, as I pointed out that the Easter that we're doing over here is taking water and making ice cubes. It's not we don't have no Easter of taking your chicken and putting it back into the fridge, even though the fat is going to coagulate. There's no Easter of putting chicken into the freezer, even though the fat will freeze. That's not usher at all. That's not what. That even the Sefer Kumo would not say that's usher. That's not even a tzarech lehimana. But we're dealing with creating a yesh me'ayin. That's the Sefer Kumo. You have to leave a no lager. It's something that you didn't have previously. When you're dealing with situations where you're not interested in creating anything, you're just interested in preserving the food. That's not considered. That's not at all a malach. Just in terms of halakha l'maaseh ramifications of things that we learn, someone had asked me during a week or two ago, in terms of eating grapefruit, whether when one eats grapefruit, so it's very, very hard, if you have a half a grapefruit, to take a spoon and to take out the pieces of the grapefruit without squeezing the liquid out of the grapefruit. And we pointed out that nowadays we view grapefruit as tutim rimonim, according to most poskim. And so we have over here a problem. So the answer is that we have to use our rules. The rules are that sikresha d'rodichalei is mutter. You're interested in eating the grapefruit, not drinking the juice. So that the juice comes out when you're eating, that's a sikresha d'rodichalei. And you have two drabanans. You have one drabanan that is b'chala sukin rimonim, that's drabanan. And you have a second drabanan that you're being sochik l'achayav. Normally someone's not sochik with a spoon. Can take the grapefruit and to squeeze it into your spoon. That's usher, right, drabanan. That's not a sikresha, that's a malacha. Mashain came to eat the grapefruit, so there, even if the juice comes out, it's not a problem. And then to drink the juice afterwards, also not a problem, as long as you simply pour it out of the grapefruit as opposed to squeezing it out of the grapefruit. Okay, that's mentioned in Shemir Shabbos Kilkasa, that's brought in Siman, or it's in Perak Hay, it's issued days. Yeah.
Is
there any type of
saying
that they can just want
to
do in Jordan,
Michigan,
with the
UGC? In fact, we see a lot of
people,
they finish eating and they squeeze out whatever's left, as you mentioned before.
No, they squeeze out whatever's left because they can't only eat it. In other words, they definitely want to eat the grapefruit. But that always, like, if there are people who take, you know, hachin katanim, you know, lots of them, they can't eat what's on the side, but they can still drink, so why let that go to waste? But that when they're eating, they're not drinking. Okay, in terms of the svog, we saw that you can't use a svog. We have over here a sikresha. Our svogim don't have a beit achiza. To use a svog is problematic. The Shmirah Shabbos Kilkasa adds in, this is Perek Yud Beis, Seif Yud Aleph, he adds in also a rag. To, in other words, this is the same way you can't wet a sponge and then clean the table with a wet sponge. Also, you can't wet a rag and clean the table with a wet rag. Pretty much the same reason, that the svog may be a sikresha, the rag would be a karvel sikresha. It may not be as sensitive as a sponge, but clearly you have a karvel sikresha, and it's a karvel sikresha the nisoy, that you want the liquid to come out. In terms of a paper towel, wetting a paper towel and using that to clean the table, so I would say, like, you know, like, what's the question? Isn't that exactly the same thing? So I would say, yes, exactly the same thing, but there is a tshuva of Rav Moshe who's not here. So you should be aware of tshuvas that are matir, even if I can disagree with them. It's in Kelek Aleph of Orach Chaim. I'm sorry, Kelek Beis of Orach Chaim Siman Ayin. Very unusual tshuva. I don't understand what he's talking about. First, he points out that taking a paper towel and wetting it and using that to clean your table, that's not a problem of leaving of the paper towel, a wetting paper towel, because no one's malabbing a paper towel and it's going to be thrown away. Fine. No one ever would think about that. But it's not. Okay, what about disha? What about disha? When you're using a paper towel, aren't you squeezing it onto the table? So he says as follows. That so of course we have to deal with the question of Gisha. V'ach shero b'klui shehu le'ibu tzavrei she'asim et rabbanon, etc. U'sfita zo efshar b'ika gam b'niyar. Aval mitzavrei de b'niyar ein l'ach shivze l'sfita v'lo nivla b'toch ha'niyar. Alright, so again, I mean, what does it mean, v'lo nivla b'toch ha'niyar? I have no idea what it means. And why does it have anything to do with ein l'ach shivze l'sfita v'lo nivla b'toch ha'niyar? The afsha al korponim yesh lesser midrabanon gam b'seyar. The vaday lo nizla is still also drabana. Mikol makom kevan deino tochli v'gam ein derech liskot mayim min yarchal lo letzarach hamayim lo lemalabim ino miskaven laze yesh lahatir kedisa b'sif yuchet shematim b'tarti l'tivuta. Very strange. I have no idea what he's talking there. I mean, there's no date on the tshuva. It's in one of the early volumes. But it could very well be. I don't know what kind of year he's talking about, or maybe something that didn't have no real absorptive capacity. But nowadays, a paper towel is the same as a rag. I mean, that's what it's used as. I don't know. In any case, in the Piskei Tshuva, in Siman Shin Beis Os Yud, he quotes Acharonim or Cholak and Rav Moshe. But I find that I don't understand, because I can't read the tshuva. I don't know what he means by Ein Hamayim Nivla Baniyar, and why that shouldn't be a problem of Sita. Yeah? Would be a problem. Okay. So say that. When they republish the tshuva, they should put a little ha'ara. Okay, thank you for Torah Shibal Pit. What we move in Bosal Inyan, just 1 second, is the question of wipes. If one allowed to use the various wipes that are out in the marketplace, so in terms of the literature, again, the Pitkei Tshuva, the Sefer, it's Siman Shin Kaf Zayin Aleph. So he quotes the Machlokes Achronim. Okay, it's Machlokes Achronim. My humble opinion, and it's not a machlokes achronim, but it's simply there are firms and there are firms that it's a question purely of metzius. What you have to do is simply buy a box of wipes, and on Friday take out a wipe and squeeze it. You know, simply squeeze it, and if liquid comes out, then you shouldn't use it on Shabbos. And if no liquid comes out, then vakasha, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're allowed to make a surface damp. You're allowed to. If you recall from Hilchos Yom Kippur, when you wake up in the morning, so after you wipe your hands, you have to take the towel, which is damp, and rub it on your eyes to be able to see through the little granules of whatever they are that is deposited on your eye during the night. And you're allowed to make something damp. You're not allowed to squeeze. So as long as the surface is damp but not squeezable, then you're allowed to use it. If the surface is wet enough that when you press it against something, liquid is going to come out, then you shouldn't use it. You should also realize maybe the difference between the top of the box and the middle of the box and the bottom of the box. Namely, that sometimes you have boxes that are sort of sitting in alcohol on the bottom, that those wipes that are on top have less alcohol, and those that are closer to the bottom have more alcohol. So the chorus, the question is, it's Tatani Maskir Ayon, once I ran over to Rosh Hashanah, I was trying to figure out what was going on, so I went to Rosh Hashanah and Kirchel Yashiv, and I was carrying with the wipes, and I said, you know, can't use this, can't use this. Rosh Hashanah looked at me like I fell from the moon. He went like this. He said, you can use it. Okay, in any case. So it's simply a question of metzius. In terms of a toothbrush, can one use a toothbrush on Shabbos? So here we have a machlokes achronim, and again, it fits into the various shitos that we've already seen. The Sfida Yesh has a tshuva. I'll give you the two Maamar Makomos to the Sfida Yesh, because the classic edition that came out, it was in Chelek Beis, I think it was Siman Kaf Chet. Then they came out with a new edition of the Sfida Yesh from the Kes Leibovitz, from the, you know, the inexpensive edition, which is very, very nice, and they did it with all the Sfida Yesh, but what they did was, they put on the Sfida Yesh according to the order of the Shulchan Aruch. Namely, they changed the order of all the tshuvas. And so here, this is in Chelek Aleph, Siman Lamed. It doesn't even give the number of the old tshuva. Okay. Not nice. In any case, it's a clear index, but it's not where it was. So what he wants to say is basically this is our sfog, Sheish Lo Beit Achiza of the Raivet. This is the Raivet sfog Sheish Lo Beit Achiza. This is a kli. This is a kli, which is used to absorb liquid and to exude the liquid. That's the purpose of the brush. And as such, that's not called the malacha of disha. Disha is to squeeze a fruit. Disha is to take a beged and to squeeze it. That's disha. Masha Enkin, when you're dealing with a kli, which is a revolving door, you put liquid in, take it out, that that is lechare, that is heter, which is very interesting, and that fits in to our view, or the Chazanish's view of the Raivin. The question is, will we pass on like the Raivin? That's, you know, that's because it doesn't get involved in. But Rav Moshe has an opposite approach. That's in Or HaChaim, Chelok Aleph, Siman Kuf Yud Beis, where he was asked about Russian teeth on Shabbos, Venakos Shinayim B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov. And so he has this short tshuva where he says as follows: V'Tzvar Venakos Shinayim B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov im toothpaste, Pashut Do'asar Shu Mamachek. That we'll have to get to. We get to Mamachek. Is this Mamachek? When you're putting, Mamachek means to smooth a surface. So you're putting the toothpaste on the teeth, so you're smoothing the surface. The question is, if you're smoothing it in order then to simply gargle it and spit it out, is that considered to be mamachik? Namely, if you're paving a road with asphalt, clearly that's mamachik. So we compare brushing your teeth to paving a road with asphalt. That's an open question. Anyway, he says, asa mishum mamachik, ubelo toothpaste, v'habrush, hamiyuchad lazeh, muter shehu kumo rechitzat shar eiver acher, aval yishtov rak vitzonein. That you could use a brush, simply to brush your teeth, but afterwards you should rinse out your mouth with cold water. In other words, when he spoke of using a brush, he meant using a dry brush, simply taking a dry brush and brushing your teeth with a dry brush. Masha'im came to wet the brush beforehand, that's sita. And this is the sita that they are. Namely, even though the fibers are hard, they really don't absorb. The liquid is between the fibers. We saw that the by se'ar, we call it an iser drabanan. So this is the iser drabanan of sita v'se'ar. V'la'achar ha'nikui lo'yirchat et ha'brush, af v'lo shivshuv, she'en sham sita mishum she'en sarach shuv hayom, and therefore v'shuv machar. And to wash off the brush afterwards, that's the problem of ha'chanav l'chol. So it comes back to Rav Moshe, you can use a dry brush without toothpaste. Better to use mouthwash. Right? Use a dry brush without toothpaste to brush your teeth, because the moment that you're going to wet it, you're going to have a problem of sitat se'ar. Namely, that here we come, you know, between, again, the sfog with the Beis Achiza and the se'ar. This is muter, this is aser drabanan. The piskei tshuva over here sort of followed in Rav Moshe's footsteps. Where is it? Sort it down. Shin Kaf Zayin Gimel, and gives a whole list of conditions. I mean, if you're going to say that it's Aser, Shin Kaf Zayin Gimel. He says, firstly, you should have a special toothbrush for Shabbos. So it shouldn't be Uzud Bechol. Okay, that's A. And then after, that's something that we'll learn about when we get to in the garden, the klisha, asilatach. Maybe a token, we'll get to it. Then he mentions, aside from that, shiye hamivreshet balat sarat rakot shaloye psikureshi bosa adam nechani chayim hamotze yitzol harbe b'nei adam. You shouldn't, you know, you should use a brush that won't cause bleeding, okay? Yakpid shesarot hamivreshi yimukhubarim b'chosek shlo yakru nimin mehem. That you shouldn't have a problem of being mati or tesher shol kayama. The fibers in the brush are tied in to the brush. You shouldn't be untying the ties. Shiyem echute nylon, kevan shafu echute nylon yesh lachshosh l'sita d'rabanon al kem lo yitbolet mevreshet b'mayim el yochlech piv b'mayim v'yikach mevreshet yivesha. In other words, that he suggests that one could rinse one's mouth, and then when one's mouth is wet, to use a dry brush. In other words, that way you would get in Rav Moshe to use cold water. After Rav Moshe suggested not to get involved in problems of turning on the hot water, and then afterwards not to wash off the brush. Okay, so that's where he deals with. However, as I mentioned, the 3DH is Mekel. In terms of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he gives a construct. He is a tshuva of the Chala for Moshe in terms of what sort of brushes or scrubbing items you can use. That if you have something which is synthetic, doesn't absorb, and that the sarot are not sufot, that they're not tightly together, then we'd have a heter, because this is not similar to Sayar. Sayar doesn't absorb, but the sarot are close together. If we can move the sarot farther apart, then you would have something which basically doesn't absorb. That would be like the kli that we spoke about, of the Beis Achiza, the smoker Beis Achiza of Rav Moshe, simply that you have a cup that holds the water. And so, were there to be a toothbrush that we made it constructed in such a manner that would have the fibers separated from one another rather than mostly come together, and it was made of synthetic material, then you would have the heter of Shlomo Zalman. That's, his heter is found in Perek Yudbeis, He'ara Mem Vav. Okay, just one more topic shortly, and that's for those who have beards, is one allowed to wash one's face on Shabbos? What's the problem of washing one's face on Shabbos? The problem is that we said that there's no skita in Seyar midaraisa, but there is skita in Seyar midrabanan. And as one is washing one's beard, one is pushing the water, one is soaking the water into the beard. The question is as to whether it is mutar. There are two questions. Are you allowed to wash your beard, or are you allowed to wipe your beard? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel. Ha'im mutar lirchot ketano b'Shabbat. So he is matir based on the fact that we have over here a psikresha delo yichalei with two drabanans. That's what he says. Kevon shaholech leibud, the word is called leibud, with psikresha delo nichalei, vader kliyam amutar, bein miskaven, hurak isa drabanan, vachain eno mechuyav lehizahir. That we're dealing with seya, we're dealing with mayim holkid leibud, and so there's no problem of washing. Rav Shlomo Zalman also, he mentions that there are many that there were great achronim who didn't wash their beards on Shabbos. I said there were also great achronim who did wash their beards on Shabbos. And Karak Yudalek in Sif Chatan Aleph, he has an interesting distinction between inward and outward. As it said, quotes over here, Rav Shlomo saying that we find the heter of Rechitzas Panav Yadav Raglav Nir Lachaora Shehu Dafka She'en Sham Sa'arov Rechotet Alachayen V'asanter She'es Zakan Nistaber Da'asar Why B'shas Rechitzah V'echleach She'sochet V'hegye Mayim Min HaZakan V'chozev Rechitz Panav V'otav Mayim She'sachar. It doesn't go really good. And we said you have a certain amount of water, you press into your beard, and then you use that same amount of water to wash the rest of your face, whatever is left after the beard. It's the same water that you're using, so it's not going really good. And Lefa, it's a psikration of Nichalei. You're interested in keeping the water on your face. So he disputed with Moshe head on. And then he says, Veshuv chazar v'amar l'Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch, he changed his mind. And he says that even though, he quotes those who were zohir not to wash their beards, he felt pashtus hadvarim, that it's mutar. And what's the heter? The nira hatam, Mishafteh et ha-se'ar, sochet karagil et ha-mayim l'tzad ha-guf p'nima v'lo l'tzad chutz. That when washing the beard, when pushing the water in and not out, namely that's not schita, is to, we pointed out, is to extract. If you're not extracting, but rather you are inundating, you're pushing in, that's not a pula of schita. And then in terms of wiping the beard, so that's a different matter. There, one should be careful. Yichlal. In other words, to pat dry as opposed to squeeze, and that's, you know, that he deals with later on in Sif Chof, I think. Per Yudalot Sif Chof, Muta would nagid et ha-guf gam et ha-sa'arot, asur l'schot et ha-sa'arot. Right? In other words, that there's niguf and there's svita. So there's a question of washing, question of drying. Okay, so in any case, all of these are halacha ma'aser ramifications of the world of Dash. And Adkan, was in terms of what I would do with you, I'd like to begin next time in Yisra Hashem, the Malacha of Tochen. Borer. Do you want me to skip Borer? Okay, Borer. Do it next time, Borer.
No? Do you have a problem with the parents in Shabbos? Like if you have your Shabbos people, and you're leaving on Shabbos to wash it off, but you're using it next Shabbos, is that also Hasana? Need a tahana to carry the Tahana after Shabbos, or a doctor to carry for
a public? That's a good question. Normally we're machmir in terms of the Shabbos tablets, not to hold it up. That's considered to be hachana. The second half of the evening, the second half of the fall, it's considered to be a cure for Yisera.
So you would say that here also? Also, just what about like the other toothpaste? If you like pour it into your mouth, you have to spit it out before you start brushing your teeth. I mean, is that what we're saying that there is? I mean, when you rinse out your mouth with the water and you spit out the water and then you brush, because if the liquid's in there, then that would be
no. That's what
this
kid pointed out. But even Rav Moshe, even though he said you should use a dry toothbrush, but he didn't say your mouth also has to be dry.
So you could have a full like a lot of water in your mouth, and that's fine.
What did you have then? The teeth themselves can be damp. These being damp would not be in a situation where you'd have to take it out of the brush.
It's like you so use that shot of toothpaste, you're supposed to, you shouldn't put it on the toothbrush, you should put it into your mouth.
That's what Mishkit Shuva suggests. In order to be, if you want to be Yotir or Moshe Skumra, then they suggest it.
Also, with ice, is there a difference if you put the water on the ice directly, or meaning, do you put the water in first or the ice first, or it doesn't matter?
As long as you're putting one directly after the other, it doesn't make a difference. Anyways, you shouldn't have the ice melt in the cup without water.
So you can pour, you could have a cup of ice and then just pour water right on top of it, and it doesn't matter if it's just melting water. You won't see the melting water.
Let's say sometimes you put a bowl of ice cubes on the table. So then you should have a little water in the bowl of ice cubes if you want to be yotzei the sefer truma. In which when the ice cubes melt, they'll melt into the water rather than simply melting into an empty bowl. Because if you melt into an empty bowl, then you have the nolad of the sefer truma. You melt into the water.
Just to clarify, when you touch the Shabbos toothpaste, that's like mishalim.
Also has notes of Shamo Zalman on the Chuvas. So on that Chuva, Lamed, Silksinai and the Shabbos. So there was a letter that Shamo Zalman wrote to Rav Weinberg. Kainim and Yibre Rav Adon, she is Kama Panim Lahatir. Ophinius Daiti, Huni Akvama Mutarim, Shnagu Behem Isra. Without the toothpaste. He says, with the toothpaste, that's just like you won't get to get to it, it's in the market.
Given the 3 days should hold up your motion, but you can't wash the toothbrush after your final use. If it's in the pan for next day?
You can wash it Friday night, probably, right?
How do the 3 days you not do even with the toothpaste or so?
Everyone dealt with a different aspect. So Salvechik was talking about toothpaste and germs. So the he says the toothpaste issue damas with a piece of the borit, he compares it to washing with a piece of solid soap. And they sent it to Rakhine, Kafar, Mogin Avram, etc. Okay, you mentioned, you do quote over here with Samozaman, that Samozaman, you know, it's Medikar, I didn't thought it was Mutter. However, since it's Torah, I'm returning about Chernobyl, then he certainly doesn't want to be Mati. That's the concept that something is accepted as being Maser, and you leave it that way. We'll make it how it is.
And also, the Shabbos sponges,
That's something which is
it's not close together.
No, there's no close together means you have two strands and the water gets caught between the two strands. Here, the whole purpose of it is that the strands are simply separate.
It's nothing like it holds.
It holds water. That's the chesed. It holds. It's like a clay holding water. A cup holding. It's like warm water. So it's like a cup holding water, and the cup is abrasive. So you have the abrasive action, and you have the water there. That's how people use it, but it's not there.
That is a very quick case. Let's say I like the juice of the lemons, and then we'll need to raise the meal away from me.
Yeah. See the question? No, but I understand. If all the juice went into the grape, you'd be upset. If there was no juice at the end, you'd be upset. You ate the juice. You definitely want the juice.
Yeah.
You definitely want the juice.
Saf wants the juice when you're in the situation you follow.
If you definitely want the juice, so it's a situation you follow, I guess. Yeah. I guess so. We wouldn't say about the light, though. I mean, if you definitely want the juice, you should drink it.
You just buy a sponge with a long handle. So that's not a problem.
No, halacha maaseh is a problem because if you learn like most Rishonim didn't learn the writer. The writer is a das yachid. That's why it's very strange that the Swedish is talking like him. The writer is a das yachid. Most Rishonim understand that in the time of Chazal they had a slogan of the Beis Hakhidusha where there wasn't a situation. We could present that and it wouldn't be a situation as opposed to you know in the hands where there is a situation. That's a smart of the sugya. That's you know that the when I had it holding with your hand, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's a stick ratio. Hashem came with the stick. It's not over there, it's a Shimon scabbard. But by our sponges, the way they make it so sensitive, even if it has a stick on it, the moment you press it down, the water comes out. So Mahalulu.
So what's the story of Roshon Zaman that toothbrush is not turning to us and then when it holds like that right?
I have other hysteria as well. I didn't quote the whole Sviyesh says, that even with one drabana, secretia is mutter. Maybe that's over there, because Vishnu Gimel, it's a mural akot, maybe not the other Surian. Haredidon Vida, he should speak to the Sarasan of Drabana. He has a different view, the law, of the world of secretia, the one we construct your point in Mosla Kron. And then he quotes the Rashi by Sayyar, Shu Pasha, Beino Baloya. And then he quotes the whole concept of halakha ibud. And then he brings in the issue of Sarayakot, that is spoke to Beis Achisa. I thought it was nice to quote this from Beis Achisa because it's fits in with what we wanted to say. But he has a whole bunch of other material as well. But all that came, I think, was being, I don't know, become a different construct.
Also, just the person still had a couple of water on the first field, so you can't be able to read.
No, they can dry rig. No, we were talking about it now. It's taking a wet rig. They can dry rig. Clean it up. They can take a napkin and clean it up. Just be careful not to be selfish. Hold the napkin by the corner and take it up and throw it away. Just not to be selfish.
Also, some of the I see people with soup, you do with bread. So when they take a bite out of the bread, so some soup comes in. Is that also or?
Why is it different than nowadays? They had a Hitzadik that was considered Darshan and Skadden.
It was a Mitzius.
Why isn't that same Mitzius sort of fun?
Because it's not a Hitzadik. You go in there and you go low by fire sponge with an angle, and you'll see that it's still a sponge with water, you press it, and if you just touch it to the table, there'll be water on the table.
You know, then you have, I don't know, but I'm thinking before the Mitzius was different because once you have a handle, it doesn't, you know.
No, the Mitzius is different. I've said they had natural sponges. Now there's no use of natural sponges.
Coral reefs.
Now
that
it's faster. It's not the original
sponge.
It's much
more sensitive.
Yeah.
And that's so you should do a course there, right?
So again, I can't go and get the extra data pizza and get a shame I use for and the power. The Rambam is talking about evil. The Rambam is on the Rambam is evil. So to bring it over here, it's very problematic. And first, what does the Rambam mean? We gave a interpretation to the Rambam. So it may mean something else. I don't know. So you need to have the Rambam. Maybe yes, maybe no. Okay. I mean, you're correct. Of course, people say that at the time. We doesn't get involved in like actually yes, so if Orgas Akiza is the Yesha Panatha of Losita and they derive it all the way, Yesha Panatha of Losita in that kind of game situation. Now, Jay is mentioned, they kind of get what you're actually losing the series. You know, it's a natural identity.